Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
R-E-F-U-G-E. E, get the CD from Sam Goody. You ain't even close with the rhymes that you wrote. Don't be mad because you broke. Let me clear my throat. John Forte. Grab the mic and don't sway it this way.
I'm more than just a rhymer. You still a small timer. Hoping at the game. Treat that ass a little.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. F. Scott Fitzgerald famously wrote that there are no second acts in American lives. But the musician John Forte is embarking on a second act, thanks in part to an American president, and perhaps not the one you'd expect. In the 1990s, Forte wrote songs for the Grammy-winning hip-hop group The Fugees, and recorded with head Fugee Wyclef Jean, as we just heard, also with Herbie Hancock and Carly Simon. His future was bright, but a drug arrest at Newark Airport in 2000 ended it all. Convicted of cocaine possession with intent to distribute, Forte was sentenced to 14 years in prison. For many people, it would have been the end of a career. But during George W. Bush's final weeks in the White House, the president commuted Forte's sentence. Less than a year later, John Forte is here to play a song live in our studio from a new EP called Style Free. This song is called Breaking of a Man. Here's John Forte live on Soundcheck.
I know you've seen the breaking of a man. You've taken all you can, as if the house we made was laid across the sand. Oh Lord, penalties for suffering can seem so hard. Dreaming the days when everything's so odd. Tried to walk good, where does that door start? Show.
I, John, thought exercises sought out to advise and add on. I changed the thinking you so proudly had on. This mobilizing effort, it picks up from where the best of the best came and left it. The treasure of truth, I mix drinks within a booth that can't be measured with youth. I break leaven with the seven, let whatever produce my past estrange the light. If change is right, you can say the judge killed me. Then I came to life, a newborn like a neophyte. Fruitful love from the tree of life. This is the letter I don't need to write. Peace, Allah, bless the stars. If I don't breathe tonight, if I don't save you from yourself, maybe Jesus might. What I envision is better, steady, higher living from this system, though some dudes might be dead already. I graduated from a school where the minds varied to hold a burden known to those that only time carries. This cherry blossom, a martial artist, studied the chi, written on gossamer, tutored by philosophers demonstrably. I deconstruct the subpar and put them back together like the monsters be. How do you want it? Obvious or subconsciously? If every man has his price, who sponsors me? You should do more than just drink responsibly. You see, even in the mountains, Lord John was free. I know you've seen the breaking of a man. You've taken all you can, as if the house we made was laid across the sand. Oh Lord, penalties for suffering can seem so hard. Dreaming the days when everything's so dark. Tried to walk good, where does that road start? Show. As fate would have it, they would have me talking savage like the average among us, and not confined to the youngest. I'm like the magical healer slash masterful builder. I know the riddle of steel is in the hands of the wielder. They tried to shatter my leader, do bad to the breather for living. Page 27 from the Bhagavad Gita. So when his time stopped, where he lay, read, I'd rather be hated for what I am than loved for what I'm not. You can't subtract logic I put tulips on his grave and waxed philosophic to the words he gave. Read my lips, it's a new day running, and it ain't coming cause it's here for the taking. This been years in the making. I spent years in a station waiting to make this entrance. I'm here to free the world, young star. What's your intention? This is warfare, youngin'. The lightning is flashing now. Tune in and let's see what's happening now. One way or another, it's going down. I know you've seen the breaking of a man. You've taken all you can, as if the house we made was laid across the sand. Oh Lord, penalties for suffering can seem so hard. Dreaming the days when everything's so dark. Tried to walk good, where does that road start? Show.
That is John Forte, live in our Soundcheck studio, and Breaking of a Man, which is on his new EP, out now, called Style Free. This, obviously, an acoustic, a completely unplugged version of the song. John, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
So, the song is called Breaking of a Man. You spent 7 years in prison. We think of that as the kind of experience that can, in fact, break a man. Is that what this song is about?
I think so. I think on the surface, it's about breaking, but just beneath the surface of any breaking, I think, is a non-breaking or a rebuilding of sorts. You know, nothing is broken without transferring into a new state, and that was a song that I wrote toward the end of my tenure in prison, before I even knew that my sentence was going to be commuted, and it was me symbolically, I think, reaching that turning point of resolve where I wasn't resigned to my fate as a prisoner, but I was resolved as the man that I was becoming, which was a person that I liked, a person that I enjoyed, a person that I respected. And, you know, in order to be rebuilt again, you have to be deconstructed.
Was that a new experience to look in the mirror and see someone you respected?
Indeed. I think that I spent too many years looking for this external satisfaction, this validation from either peers or friends or family, people, in fact, who loved me and respected me more than I think I respected myself, but I didn't realize my self-worth because I was too busy trying to gauge it through their eyes, which was obviously an exercise in futility. But it wasn't until I was able to ask myself the hard questions, to introduce myself to myself, if you will, that I think I was able to make any sort of real progress as a being.
Now, you said that you didn't realize at the time you wrote this song that there was a possibility of the president commuting your sentence. That did, in fact, happen.
It did.
How?
I think through the efforts of many, many people who believed in me, as well as what I did as an inmate. I think people are very tempted to look at it on the surface and to just say, "Oh, well, this is a question of connections, if you will."
Mm-hmm.
I worked really, really hard while I was in prison to improve myself. So I think that the reform and the rehabilitation that took place, rather than systemic, was very, very individual. And, you know, it was about me returning to school. It was about me teaching while I was in prison. It was about me making efforts to give back, even though I was in a situation where physically I could not be there. If it was through writing or through responsible acts and deeds, that sort of redemption that might not be publicized or celebrated, but very quiet. And I think, yeah, you know, it comes down to the merits and being able to present the best case and hopefully, people saying, well, you know what, we believe you and we'll give you this this second shot, this second opportunity.
So did you have to write anything for this process? I mean, you were
yes,
in touch.
Yes, there is an application process that that any inmate has access to. Because I was in a federal prison, my clemency, if you will, could only come from the presidential level, you know, rather than the state level where you could get clemency from, say, a governor.
Right.
There is one process that anyone and everyone who is doing time, euphemistically and realistically, can apply for.
Mm-hmm. Now, strangely, Senator Orrin Hatch, the Utah Republican, was kind of the intermediary with President Bush on your behalf. He's a songwriter. How did the two of you begin corresponding?
That came through the efforts of my mentor, friend, and spiritual godmother, Carly Simon. She reached out to a bunch of people. I know that, you know, a lot of the light has been shed recently on Senator Hatch. But I think it's tempting to be very, very sensational and to have him as the linchpin to you know, my early freedom, if you will. It was a collaborative effort, and we had a bunch of people on board. And when I say a bunch of people, I don't necessarily mean famous people or people noteworthy.
Although Carly Simon certainly
although yes, she is. But if I showed you, you know, the file of letters of support from people who had just come across my music over the years to students that I'd encountered, to teachers who taught me, people came on board and really championed my early freedom.
Now, you wrote this song while you were in prison. You released an album while you were in prison, right? The album I, John?
I, John was released while I was in prison. It came out in 2002. I recorded that album the year that I was on house arrest. I was arrested in July of 2000, and I was convicted September the 6th, 5 days before 9/11, 2001, and I recorded that album over the course of that year. So I didn't have any sort of setup time to promote it and to market it. Of course, while we were recording it, there was always the chance that I wouldn't be there to tour or to promote in support of this album. But the mechanism was still in place for the release of the album. And in April of 2002, I, John was released to critical acclaim, although, you know, commercial disappointment, because I wasn't there in part.
We're speaking with John Forte, the singer, songwriter, guitarist. Did you pick up the guitar in prison?
I learned how to play the guitar while I was away, and it is my primary instrument now. And it's liberating. And it was liberating when I learned it while I was away, because I was never a so-called self-contained artist. If I walked into an event or a venue, I was wholly dependent on a DJ or a band. Now I just walk into birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, and warehouses, and I have a guitar with me, and I can set up shop and do what I do and sing a song or two.
Well, as you've done here in our studio, and there's still more to the story, the remarkable rise and then precipitous fall of John Forte with us on Soundcheck today. But since you have the guitar here, you want to play another song from the new EP?
I do. I'd like to play my first single, which is called Play My Cards For Me.
I, John, who am also your brother and companion, I stood atop the mountain and saw you down there in the canyon. Well, if I fall asleep, play my cards for me, it wouldn't bother me. You are a part of me. Others have fallen to instead of falling through. I hold these stars for you, my love, my I, John, who am also your friend and sympathizer. I bear witness to your speech as you only grew wiser and wiser. And I, well, if I fall asleep, play my cards for me, it wouldn't bother me. You are a part of me. Others have fallen to instead of falling through. I hold these thoughts for you, my love.
I, John, who am also your rock through years of war. I know deep within that we have all been here before. Well, if I fall asleep, play my cards for me. It wouldn't bother me. You are a part of me. Others have fallen too, instead of falling through. I hold these thoughts for you, my love, my. John, who've decided on no longer asking why, I'll make heaven here and now under the everlasting sky. Well, if I fall asleep, play my cards for me. It wouldn't bother me. You are a part of me. Others have fallen too, instead of falling through. Hold these thoughts for you, my love, my. Well, if I fall asleep, play my cards for me. It wouldn't bother me. You are a part of me. Others have fallen too, instead of falling through. I hold these thoughts for you, my love.
Once again, John Forte, live in our soundcheck studio. The song is Play My Cards For Me. John is performing next Thursday evening just up the road at SOB's on Varick Street here in Lower Manhattan, and playing for us this afternoon. The new EP is called Style Free by John Forte. So we started, John, by hearing Wyclef Jean shouting out to you in the middle of that song, We Trying to Stay Alive. How did you get to that point from growing up in Brownsville, Brooklyn?
My single-parented home in Brownsville, Brooklyn. My mom, who is tuning in today. Hi, Mom. And I achieved excellent marks in school to the point where one day my guidance counselor came to me and suggested that I attend boarding school. I mistook her advice for reform school and got really, really offended. And then she showed me a brochure and I said, oh, that's cool. And I ended up going to Phillips Exeter Academy, and I went there for 4 years. I came home and went to NYU for about 2 weeks, where my roommate Talib Kweli and I just kind of sat around.
Talib Kweli was your roommate?
That was my roommate
at
NYU.
Exeter?
No, at NYU.
At NYU, okay.
Now Talib Kweli, we've known each other since we were about 12. We were both from Brooklyn. And
really well-known rapper.
Yes, indeed. And he stayed on a little longer than I did. I had the opportunity of entering into the music business. Not as an artist, but as a businessman, if you will. I was 19, and I was offered the position of director of artist and repertoire A&R for a then burgeoning independent record company called Raucous, which went on to have a formidable foothold in underground / independent hip hop. At around the same time, I befriended Lauryn Hill. And she was then with a little known group called the Fugees. And she knew that even though I was wearing my executive hat, proverbially speaking, that I really, really, really wanted to be an artist. So when it was time for the guys and gal to work on their sophomore album, they invited me down to the studio, and I had a bunch of beats and tracks and ideas, and it caught on. And the next thing you know, I was producing and writing and touring with one of the biggest hip-hop acts of all time, the Fugees.
The kind of difficult part of your story to understand is how you got from that high to being busted in Newark Airport, you know, with all this cocaine.
What happened eventually was that my production and the merits and the credits that I had amassed in the industry led to my eventual solo album, which was to be released on Sony. And it was my debut album called Poli-Sci, which came out in 1998. And it was met with huge commercial disappointment. And I want to be clear, the commercial disappointment in 1998 was we sold a little under 100,000 copies domestically, which by today's standards would be huge, but back then it was a right. it was a flop. It was a brick, you know, as we said. My ego, my arrogance, the fact that I burned through all of the money that I made, and again mixed and compounded with my ego and arrogance, led to me being dropped from the label. And when the label dropped me, I didn't crawl away with my tail between my legs. I said, you know what, I'm going to do it independently. And doing it independently meant that I aligned myself with a criminal enterprise.
Well, and spent 7 years in prison, the sentence commuted by President Bush. And now, John, you have a second chance at a music career.
I do.
The new album called Style Free. John is performing at SOBs next Thursday. Thank you for performing for us this afternoon.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
That'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, Third Eye Blind is the latest rock act to team up with classical musicians. We'll look at why rockers seek out the orchestral treatment. Also, jazz composer and bassist Alexis Quadrado on fusing jazz and flamenco. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today, George Wellington. The program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer with Kristen Meinzer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow.